Welcome one, welcome all to the 24th edition of the Fendrian podcast, the Fendrian cast, brought to you in association with velorooms.com. That's hosted at www.velorooms.com. It's a fantastic online resource for pro cycling fans. You can have a chat, you can get involved, you can read previews, you can read reviews, you can see predictions, all of the kind of stuff that you would expect from an engaging online cycling community. So get along to velorooms.com, and if you haven't already, register now. They're not after your life history. You can even register with a social media account if you've got Twitter or Facebook, so you don't even need to fill in a form. It's very quick, very easy, and you can be contributing very quickly and having your say on the world of cycling. And thank you to them for hosting a special thread about the podcast. So any questions or comments, if you can't get hold of us or don't want to get hold of us via social media or via the website, then please do get in touch with us via Velorooms. And thank you to all the members on there for retweeting and sharing and getting the podcast out there and a bit more well known. So thank you very much, guys, and it's much appreciated. This is a free-to-air podcast, so I'm not making money out of this, so any information that you can share or sharing about the podcast would be gratefully received. So do that, please. It makes me happy. As has a lot of the recent cycling, we're going to kind of almost gloss over the Olympic road races, which seems ridiculous based on how exciting and what have you that they were. But we're going to gloss over them for the simple reason that I think they'll be covered elsewhere. There's 10 million Olympic podcasts that you can listen to. In summary, the women's race, as predicted by us, was won by Anna van der Breggen, but it was not as clear-cut as that. There was a dangerous crash from an unpronounceable surname, apologies for my lack of great Dutch, on the descent into the finish. The descent that's caused a lot of controversy. A lot of non-cycling fans have suddenly become cycling experts, telling us exactly how dangerous the descent was, which thanks for that, guys. I'll start becoming an expert on scrummaging now in rugby union. It's the basic principle of it has been that the race was probably, both races were decided by crashes and accidents as opposed to fantastic attacking. Now, it's a little bit harsh on Greg Van Avermaet, whose season we have followed. We were there to document his fall and abandoning the Tour of Flanders, where he sat at the side of the road in tears. We were also there to express our joy and happiness that that he'd come back and got a yellow jersey and a stage win in the Tour de France. He even attacked in the yellow jersey of the Tour de France. So maybe with hindsight, he would have won had Nibali, Port, Thomas, etc. not fallen over and broken various parts of themselves. I think the whole episode is best, unless you're Greg Van Avermaet, of course, is best now over and consigned. They were great road races in their own way. That they were dramatic, maybe more for people falling off in some ways as well as the racing. I think Rafał Majka will continue to have nightmares, but it's a difficult situation for him. Does he stick and twist? Does he wait for people coming up from behind? Does he accept that he's committed? I think the fact that he got mugged by Jarlinson Pantano in the Tour de France in that transitional kind of stage into the Alps at the start of the last week might have played on his mind a bit, and he might not have had that much confidence in either his ability to stay away or to do a sprint. So sad for him, but I think in Van Avermaet there is a worthy Olympic champion. And you know, okay, he's had his problems in the past with rumours and innuendo about cleanliness of but then it's very difficult to look back through the history of quite a lot of riders. You know, everyone enjoyed seeing Ilner Zakarin attacking in the Tour de France and his recent performances in the Giro, but he's got a pretty checkered track record. We have to judge on what we can see, and hey, I'm not going to deride Greg Van Avermaet. It was a great ride, and he has since his come back strongly, and in my mind now I would put him as a pretty short odds favourite for the Ronde next year. In my mind, there's still obviously quite a long way to go until the race, but you know, in my mind, I'm more than happy to stick my neck out now and say my early favourite would be Greg. So, Olympics, There's been quite a lot of other racing going on as well, and even a bit of Flemish Classic action, even in August. There was me thinking we'd need to wait till the Eneco Tour to get a glimpse of some cobbles. It hasn't happened, it's come sooner. Before that, there was the Tour of Burgos, which saw Alberto Contador returning to action with a last-day win in that particular race. Enjoyed watching the TV coverage on the bike channel. It was fantastic. Visually, it's a spectacular part of the world. Matt Rendell could have done with a co-commentator. I'm always available, Matt. I've done an interview with Matt before when I used to write for Road CC. So, you know, I've got his number in my phone, unless he's changed it. It was great racing. That particular climbing stage that Sergio Pardilla won was really exciting. And it shows that, okay, long climbs can still produce exciting racing. It doesn't have to be short Joaquim Rodriguez style mountains to produce good racing, and so I thoroughly enjoyed that. Another race that was also on bike that I really enjoy watching is the Larry H. Miller Tour of Utah. Some good racing in there. Okay, there was a couple of days that were massive wide boulevards that riders were getting blown off in crosswinds and stuff. That wasn't, you know, as exciting, but there was some proper decent mountainous terrain and some pretty decent looking racing. Lachlan Morton, World Tour Pro Tour rider, there was a pretty worthy winner. He took his chances well. He attacked on, I think, about the third stage before the finish, and was able to defend it pretty well. In Robin Carpenter, there's a pretty decent looking American sort of rouleur prospect, and Chris Dahl looked a pretty decent sprinter. So a couple of names to keep on your radar for coming years. So the final thing today, Friday afternoon, the Doise d'Ors Het Haugaland, not named after Patrice Haugaland, the former FDJ pro, but a race organised by Nick Noyens, who knows a thing or two about tough classic racing, having been a surprise winner of the Tour of Flanders. I think it was 2009. Wikipedia might tell me otherwise. Always a good domestique, always a good rider, especially at Saxo Bank and then at Cannondale. But he has organised this race, and it looked visually kind of quite like what something we could organise in the Fens, because as well as some typical cobbled sections, there were some what looked like almost canal towpaths down the side of railway lines. And if you haven't got the chance, if you go to our homepage, http://fendrien.eu, a couple of articles down, there is a link to the YouTube highlights, so get watching that, because it was pretty epic. And then to finish, there was a cobbled climb up through a town into a citadel. It was brilliant racing, and in Nicky Terpstra, a great winner. He won the previous kind of March-April time. The name of the race escapes me now, but he won that in a similar style. I think it was Scott Thwaites who was chasing him for Bora Argon 18. Anyway, he's getting himself a name as a cobbled expert. He's been second in the Tour of Flanders, he's won Paris-Roubaix, and he's won a couple of these cobbled semi-classics. So Terpstra could be one that's back on the radar to win something big next year. You would certainly hope so. And if he rides the Eneco Tour, I think he's nailed on for the stage win the Muir-Dier Gerardsbergen climb. Okay, so the 10 minutes has rattled by, as usual, in super rapid time. I hope you got all you needed as a top-line summary of the week in bike racing. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for sharing. The final thing to add is that we've buckled to requests and have created a Strava club for listeners of the show and for people who read the Fendrien website. So you can get to that again from the homepage, fendrien.eu. There is a post at the top of the website at the moment, just below the one about this podcast, that gives you the link to the Strava group, or in the right hand column where the buy our kits and links and stuff like that are, there is a link to the Strava group there. Okay, all that remains for me to say is thank you again for listening. We'll be back same time roughly next week with a bit more, hopefully, from the Olympics and a bit more from the road scene.